It's time for Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, the greatest automotive podcast in the known world, with Ron Foreman, Brady Wright, and Steve Johann. Let's find out what's going on this week.
Here's what's happening. It's Tuesday, March 3rd, 2021. Brady Wright, Ron Foreman, your hosts, and Steve Johann, the producer, as always, joining literally millions of listeners. This is our 177th episode. It's Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. I'm glad you got find time to stick with us here. We're on iTunes, we're on iHeart Podcasts, Spotify, of course. Podomatic.com is our home site. We're growing to MeWe and CloudHub and Gab and CastBox and a bunch of others. If practically any place you get podcasts, you're able to find us. And we do thank you for liking and following our Facebook page, YouTube page, all the latest shows. Right now, our first segment is always Back to the Blacktop. That's where Steve has automotive news and stuff. As usual, what do you got this week, my friend?
Well, I wanted to start out by saying our condolences to the Bruce Meyer's family, as Bruce Meyer, the inventor of the Myers Manx Doom Buggy, passed away just recently at the age of 94, which happens to be, I didn't realize that. When we interviewed him in 2019, my dad is 94, and my dad bought a Doom Buggy, so there is a lot of affinity there, and my dad's still kicking. But he died from some blood-related illness, but he had a lot of life. And even though
we
had
the show up too.
We posted it last week, and it's up there for anybody who wants to listen to it. But we really enjoyed it, so our condolences to his family. I mean, what a legend in the world of automobiles. And then we here at Auto Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust would also like to say goodbye to the VW Golf, which passed away last week with the last car rolling off its Mexico plant assembly line. So Golf is bye-bye, no more. It began its life in 1974. It soon became a staple amongst the VW buyers. But like many a sedan, the Golf is the latest casualty of our love affair with SUVs, which has taken the world by storm. So adios, the Golf.
Is that the Golf was kind of, I mean, it was almost a mini SUV, a little hatchback, four-wheel drive, four doors.
Yep.
And they were kind of a grocery getter before there was such a thing.
A precursor.
It's sort of too bad to see them go.
It is. And then we have our recall notice this week. It is Hyundai announced that recalling 82,000 electric vehicles around the world with batteries that have caught on fire. Now, not all 82,000 have caught on fire, but they're recalling 82,000 electric vehicles due to battery fires. The South Korean automaker says about 76,000 of those were the Kona EVs built between 2018 and 2020. So, folks, if you happen to have one of those, you might want to get it down to your dealership, have it checked over.
Well, they've already sent out the recall notices. I mean, it's nothing.
Oh, I know.
But, you know, the sad thing is everybody's talking about electric vehicles. Oh, boy, that's going to be the thing. And more and more and more, they're recalling them. They're not the wave of the future yet. They're still filled with problems, and they're not.
I'm still waiting for the Jetsons car. We're supposed to be flying. Remember Back to the Future? In 1985, we were supposed to be flying cars.
Oh, yeah, according to Back to the Future.
Didn't do it. Nope.
Well, then we may be saying goodbye to another beloved name within the auto world, that being the Jeep Cherokee namesake, which may be on the chopping block if things don't go well with the upcoming talks between representatives from the Cherokee Nation and the VW Jeep Company, who will be meeting to figure out if using their name is a good idea or not. And I just want to say,
a hugely successful vehicle,
and it's a solid
recognition.
Yes,
it's always been a winner. What's not to like?
The indigenous people have a problem with it.
Well, apparently, somebody within the indigenous people groups' representatives have maybe they smell some money. Could we say smell money?
If it was a clown car and a waste of time, I could see them being unhappy. But it's an icon.
It's iconic an iconic car.
Why would they have a problem with that?
Folks, I would be happy if they called it the Johann. But I don't think it would fly. Or roll. Or drive down
to the Jetsons now.
Yes, we are.
The Johann 3000. Could flying you, car.
The Johan.
Where did you lose control of this bit?
Hey, JJ, the Johan Jeep. Well, we also have a recall, this time for the Toyota RAV4, made between 2013 and 2018. It may be coming because the U.S. is conducting a probe into 1.9 million of these bad boys, which at this point has uncovered a reported 11 fires caused by various issues. So now this is not an EV. This is just a normal car. But 1.9 million, and out of 1.9 million sold between 2013 to 2018, that's 5 years, they've had 11 fires reported. Now, my question is, I have my buddy had a 68 Dodge Polara, 383, beefed up. We ran around, and one night, we're driving around in Bellingham, and all of a sudden, we stop at the little go store, and it starts smoking from under the hood, so we pop the hood, and there's a flame. The hose to the carburetor had melted, and there was gasoline dripping on the manifold. And so he pulls off his shirt, and he literally sits there, and he puts it out. By that time, the people inside the store had called the police or the fire department, and they came out, and the guy sits there with a little squirt fire extinguisher starts squirting on his engine.
I'm missing the point of this story, Steve.
The story is that there's a recall.
Hot Wheels. It was a Hot Wheels.
Yes. The story is this. The Toyota RAV4 is possibly being recalled because there's been 11 fires over a five-year period of time of 1.9 vehicles. They don't say. They just say of various reasons. But I'm just saying, why would you recall that many vehicles that old when people have fires? That does happen.
It's because there's a percentage of allowable failure. And if it exceeds the percentage of allowable failure, then they have to recall and take a look at it. It's all OSHA and stuff now. You know, the NADA, they're very serious about potential for injury because lawyers have gotten a hold of this. And back in the day, they had plastic fuel lines, and eventually they would get brittle and melt, and stuff had happened to them. And that's a whole different deal from what's going on.
There you
go.
It's all lawyers. It is. So anyway, we may be seeing in the next couple weeks a total recall. Right now they're doing a probe, so maybe they'll miss the bullet. And
how many Pintos blew up, caught on fire before they started recalling those?
Well, I'm going to ask Rob Nader.
Molotov cocktail car.
Yeah, I don't know.
That was a design flaw.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a
serious design flaw.
Is somebody clicking
but
a pin?
Yes, you're right. They ended up, you know, losing that entire car line because of that.
So I wanted to come back and revisit the ongoing saga with Nikola Trucking Company. Well, here we go again. According to the Truth About Cars, an outside firm hired by Nikola has been investigating the former CEO, and it is come to find out there's a lot of false claims made by the ousted founder, Trevor Milton, which has been shown to have fabricated the status of the company's technology and how far along the prototypes were. In addition to the ex-CEO, and the probe also showed the entire company has been implicated for creating a number of falsehoods of its own. And I just want to let everybody know, GM was that close of signing a deal with them, and they backed out. Now I know why. But they've got hundreds of millions invested in this company, and it's been fraudulent. They put together a beautiful mock-up of a semi-truck tractor, but the double dealings just go on and on. And there again, folks, it's an electric hybrid vehicle, and I think...
Well, these things are continually being disappointing, and we're just going to have to, you know, face facts. It's a ways away. That technology is a ways away.
In the meantime, it's a great way to make a little extra cash by getting people to invest in it, even though it may not fly.
Well, yeah. So were Ponzi schemes, and they didn't work real well either. Hey, thanks for tuning in. Coming up on the Windshield View, we got a great artist to talk with this week, Damian Fulton. Damian Fulton Art on Horsepower, Chrome and Rust.
D&L Restoration, a family-owned shop, is looking to add a talented, motivated body technician. If you're tired of working for an organization where good enough is good enough and feel you have more to offer, then DNL may be a great fit for you. The ideal candidate will have a solid foundation in automotive refinishing and be relentless in the pursuit of show quality bodywork, panel alignment, and panel fit. For the list of qualifications and to apply, go to restoreyourcar.com. That's restoreyourcar.com.
This is Jerry Heasley, and you're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, the greatest show I've been on in at least the last year.
Cartoons Magazine is back. You know those crazy car comics from the past. They've returned in the all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of brand new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine full of one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available at your local comic book store, newsstand, and directly through Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com. That's cartoonsmag.com, where you can subscribe to a whole year's worth of fun. Cartoons Magazine, there's nothing else like it.
Attention, men under the age of 35. You know what really impresses the ladies? When a guy has a few drinks and later gets pulled over for buzz driving. That could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. There goes let's grab dinner and a movie. Oh, I know. You drive more carefully when you're buzzed. You've proven that hundreds of times. A woman admires that kind of confidence. And you've practiced how to speak if a cop does pull you over. Slowly, clearly, and politely, like, "Good evening, officer." A woman admires that kind of foresight. And what woman doesn't find it adorable that you call it buzzed even though the law calls it drunk? You could kiss $10,000 goodbye, along with any chance of having a girlfriend. Because nothing says, "I'm a catch," more than a guy who lives in his parents' basement and calls it my place.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been more.
Welcome to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. We're back for the first half, the Windshield View. And this week we are honored to have Damian Fulton this week, on this episode of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. Welcome, Damian.
That's absolutely right.
Here.
All the way from China.
That's right. Boy, are my arms tired. No.
I'll bet.
I'm trying to match your guys' energy when I watch the show. You know, I have to bring my A game.
Well, okay.
If you're matching our energy, you'd be asleep any minute, so that's just fine.
Oh, God, really, thanks, Brady.
That's okay. We really appreciate you coming on. It's just super to have you. Before we go any farther, I want to give folks your website. It's Damian Fulton, R-D-A-M-I-A-N Fulton, F-U-L-T-O-N, art.com. And I seriously encourage people to go there and look at some of your work. I got to say, while we were waiting for you to come on, Ron and I were going through your website, and you got some great stuff.
Very cool.
It's amazing. It begs the question, there's all kinds of, you know, influences in there. How'd you get started doing this, and who are some of your influences?
Well, let's start with the influences first, and I got to give a shout out. You know, I was I'm a pop culture kid. I was born in the 50s, raised in the 60s during a really turbulent, crazy time, and there was so much going on as far as sort of counterculture stuff, and so I had all of the influence of sort of the emergence of rock and roll, the hot rod culture. I grew up in Southern California. And, you know, at that same time, monsters were huge.
Oh, yes.
Okay,
television was just starting out, and they really needed, content. So they ran old Bugs Bunny, Looney Tunes, cartoons, Tom and Jerry, violence like crazy. They ran monster movies. And I used to look every week, I'd get the TV guide and I'd flip through and I'd look for melodrama.
Yes, melodrama, yes, melodrama. Yes, yes,
yes.
Yeah. And I'd watch, you know, there was something about when you're a little kid, the power of those monsters, you know, Universal Monsters, Frankenstein, the Wolfman, the actor, Lon Chaney Jr., Boris Karloff, Bela Lugosi. I don't know. I just love those things. And it all kind of, the hot rod culture and the Monsters, because Monsters became famous. Remember they ran the Munsters? You remember the Munsters?
Oh, yeah.
Well, sure, in the 60s, yeah, that was, right? If you grew up in the 50s and 60s, then you had to do the Munsters and the Addams Family, both.
Yeah.
Amazing influences, yeah.
And then
I was right there with you.
Then on top of that, in comes the Monkees. So you've got music and the Monkey Mobile and it. So you've got this mishmash of, and then the Monster cards, the Monster trading cards. And
you nailed it, Steve. It's like, okay, so you got this monster awareness for the first time. You remember those movies were gone for 20, 30 years. They weren't making monster movies. After World War II, it just wasn't that exciting anymore, you know, compared to the atomic bomb. Those monsters were boring, so they went into sci-fi in the film industry. But what happened is you have this love of pop culture, car culture in California with monsters, and that's where you get this the model mashup, you know, Ed Big Daddy Roth and Weirdo. Yes. And it, I remember
Von Dutch.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, there was just such an exciting time. I didn't know it. I just was building those models and painting them and drawing them and
You were living it.
All going right in here.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I was a good Catholic kid. You know, I went to school. Everything was so... Remember, my parents were full-on Depression-era establishment parents.
Yep, right. Same here.
Yeah, and we were pretty darn straight-laced and conservative and stuff like that. And right in our neighborhood was this... I had an older brother, you know, who was like the first guy to grow long hair, right? And... And you know, he listened to the Rolling Stones, and he was sort of his name is Dorian. If Dorian, if you're watching, love you, brother. And you know,
hi, Dorian.
Motorcycle culture was going off. You know, motorcycles and so there was
Marlon
just,
Brando, Steve McQueen, all of those guys.
Oh, yeah, those guys. They're a little before my time, but they would show those movies, right?
But the Blob with Steve McQueen, the Blob with Steve McQueen.
Yeah, but the
brings to a question. I remember the first monster movie that I saw on television. Right. I remember to this day. Wow. I got to know what's the first monster movie you remember seeing?
You know, I think probably The Crawling Hand, and that's a really obscure
yes.
Crawling up the back seat of the car.
That's it. That
reaching for a hand. Oh, yeah, I remember that.
I mean, I don't know. I had that reoccurring dream. And the other one was, do you guys remember Invaders from Mars?
Of course.
Idea of this tunnel somewhere in the back lot of this neighborhood would suck people down, and there was this whole underground world. Yep. It was the thing.
Oh, where they find the dead body.
It turned out to be a frozen giant carrot, and James Arness was the thing.
Yeah. Yes.
Remember this?
Oh my gosh. It was one of the first movies that said less is more, like the alien movies today. You never saw them, right? I'm getting goosebumps.
It was so much more
terrifying.
Yep.
Yeah. In fact, the cut off at the end of the movie, they chopped off one of its arms as it ran off into the ice, and the arm was still alive. That scared me for years.
Oh, I think I watched something similar. It was similar that. My buddy and I, we watched it at his house or my house on Saturday afternoon sci-fi theater, and I had nightmares for years after watching something. It was all black and white.
Damon, you're talking about influence. I got to mention two words. Of the genre and the era that you're from, Mad Magazine and Cracked Magazine.
Oh yeah,
right.
Oh my gosh. You know what? First off,
we are brothers.
A moment of sadness. They're gone on the newsstands, and that's very interesting. When you were a kid, parents. You know, I couldn't afford a subscription, so your parents would take you to the grocery store, and you went to either. I went to two places in the grocery store. One was the magazine rack.
Yep.
Because you had to see the latest Mad magazine, and it was so subversive and countercultural.
Oh, my dad hated it.
Oh, yeah.
Of course. And then the other one was I'd go to the toy section and look at the models. You know, all the Aurora, the dragsters, and I built every single car model that came out.
Nice.
All of them, yeah. And we weren't involved building one and sending it down a hill on fire with some lighter fluid either. That was also,
I have a funny story. You're going to love this. Funny story. Okay. So I'm an ad guy, right? So really interesting. So I draw like crazy growing up as a kid and drew comics and stuff. I got into the BMX world and I was doing posters and artwork for them. And this a really kind woman says, hey, you ought to have a job because that's what people do. So she hired me in advertising. I get into advertising. I'm making, you know, if you think about a storyboard for a film or TV show is a comic, right? So I kind of understood all that. And then, one of my first jobs was working on Hot Wheels.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Now, here's back to your comment, Brady, about the burning. So every kid in the world has, you know, added lottery fluid to a
glue. Glue.
Sure.
It's what happened. It? Except for this generation, right?
Right.
Well back you can't then. Buy it anymore.
Yeah. But back then, so anyway, we got our company. Mattel got sued. I was working for an agency for Mattel. Mattel got sued because some kid had saw a, you know, the flame, the Mattel, the Hot Wheels logo, had seen an advertising campaign where we did a fire logo. And he said, his lawyer said he was inspired to light the cars on fire because he saw the advertising.
No way.
Right.
Wow.
Right. That's so typical. I want to do more of this because clearly we've got some of the same same influences. We probably in another life we might have ended up being serial killers, but no. Next cars and a healthy outlet for that sort of thing. You draw, I build. Rod builds. It's much more social than that. We're going to come back. The second half of the windshield view is coming up. Stick with us. This is Horsepower Chrome and Rust. We're having a conversation with Damian Fulton, DamianFultonParts.com. Do not go.
You're into cars, you love a good time, and you'd rather build it than buy it. You just might love the Rad Bastards. We're a family-oriented, nonprofit organization. We believe in 1969 and older, in the rough is enough. Real steel and iron, old-school, traditional hot rods and rat rods. We get together, have fun, help each other build, and cruise like crazy, because that's what car clubs are supposed to do. The Rad Bastards are a new class of old-school, and our signature event is the Infestation every July. Join us at cruise-ins all over the Puget Sound and on the Rad Bastards Car Club page on Facebook.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You're bringing your daughter to her favorite pop star's concert. Do you A, wear earplugs?
Isn't this fun, Dad?
I have a soft pretzel.
B, remember the moment with matching concert t-shirts.
That's going to be $180.
Or we can just take a photo.
C, show her how you used to do concerts.
We're going crowd surfing!
I can't! It's too heavy!
Oh my God! Ah.
Or D, just roll with it.
Woo! Justin! Look at us! We're over here!
Justin! OMG! He just looked... I love you, Justin! I love you!
When it comes to parenting, there are no perfect answers. But that's okay, because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information, contact YouGottaBelieve at YouGottaBelieve.org.
Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend, you were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie, I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the app.
Yes, we are. We're back in Vehicle City with the second half of the Windshield View on Horsepower Chrome and Rust. And our conversation with artist Damian Fulton continues. And we left off in just talking about Hot Wheels, and you were talking about that there was a court case against Mattel about something to do with flames on the side of a car. Tell us about that.
Well, what I recall is I think the campaign was because what there's a lot of competitors. The other ones were plastic. Mattel was metal. So the differentiating line was born of fire, fueled with flame, or something like that. And the idea was they were die cast. And
the
opening started with a cauldron, a CGI cauldron tipping and molten level lava folding, forming a car and flames coming off and sparks.
Right.
And that was enough for the lawyer to go, a typical kid burning toys. Who hasn't done that? You know? And so that was enough for him to try to point the finger at Mattel and our agency and all that sort of stuff. I didn't have to make a deposition. My partner did. I was on the art side. You know, I was an art director. Right. He was the writer. Way more articulate than me, and they thought much safer bringing that guy in than me.
Did the kid get hurt?
The kid did get hurt, and something went wrong with the fluid that he was using, and he got burned pretty bad. He survived. It wasn't like third degree burns, but it was enough that his mom smelled the money.
Sure.
No. Well, you know,
his mom's lawyers.
We all grew up making tennis ball bomb. Cannons out of pop bottle, pop cans, and soup cans.
The statute of limitations hasn't ended.
Yeah,
up and let's not talk about too much of that.
So Damien, one of the things, you know, you think about Mattel, and we'll stay on this for just a moment. But I grew up with Thing Makers, so you pour the little goop into the Thing Maker, you pop it in, and make creepy crawlers, and then you made the ones with the eat. You could eat your own creepy crawler edibles. Incredible edibles.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Ron for 10.
Ron for grandchildren.
Hey.
That would probably be a something worth of value if you actually found one of those that still work. So
did you ever actually eat any? Because it wasn't really all that good.
Yeah, it was. My neighbor had them, and we would make them, and you'd chew on them. I remember the smell of making the rubber plastic things and the flies and the little critters, and it was a heck of a lot of fun. What's that?
Had its own.
Yeah. So now,
hey, I'm looking at Damien. Yeah. I'm looking at some of the stuff on your website, and under the paintings section, there's for folks who we mentioned this before, but I'm going to say it again. It's Damien Fulton, D-A-M-A or I-A-N FultonArt.com. There's a section under paintings, and you've got a lot of stuff. It says Milan exhibit, but there's quite a number of pieces in there, and then traditional paintings. So you did obviously some sort of exhibit in Milan.
It was the best boondoggle in the world.
So
what's happened? I'll try to be as brief as possible, which is impossible. But
of course,
I went to my work, my art is you know,
amazing.
It taps into pop culture, and what has happened in the past 15 years, it's sort of exploded. That there used to be super hoity-toity, the critics and the art connoisseurs in the galleries really embraced this non-representational art, crucifixion weird stuff that nobody could relate to. So you have this generation of kids who grow up on pop culture. And they're like going, I really don't get it. But meanwhile, this sort of subversive street culture, all this sort of, stuff is going on, graffiti art and
skateboards,
and
skateboarding,
and underground comics and things. And suddenly a lot of this stuff that they used to poo-poo the critics as illustration, you know, oh, look at these guys are rendering and they're skilled. How boring. Well, anyway, a lot of this whole new generation enjoyed it. So there was a movement still going on called pop surrealism or lowbrow. It was called lowbrow art. And so I was kind of sucked up into that thing because I was painting hot rods and crazy pop culture stuff and just my experience, right, growing up. And it felt very comfortable to me and fun and challenging. Anyway, so long story short is, great museum over a great gallery over in Milan invited a group of artists, Piz, who is incredible. If you have a chance to look him up, a couple other guys. And we took all of our work over, and, I think there was like five people in it. Keith Wiesner. Oh gosh, these guys are going to kill me if I forget their names, but I'll post it later on. I'll let you know. But anyway, four of us made it over there. Incredible. Because the Italians were really getting into this sort of Americanized hot rod culture, motorcycle culture. So over the, what I did was I just brought over a bunch of sort of my stuff that I felt like was representative of what was going on.
Got it. You know, it's great stuff. And I as I look through your catalog, at least the one that's on the, you know, on the website, you can kind of sense a theme, you can sense a stylistic sort of signature from people's work. And, you know, you can look at a Roth painting, for example, and you know it's Big Daddy, you can tell, you know, a mile off. Yeah. Your stuff has some real interesting sensibilities, and I'm not going to get all artsy on it, but I really do notice there's one particular thematic element that I want to ask you about. And I don't know whether obviously it's a choice, but it's an interesting choice. And I grew up on Warner Brothers and Disney cartoons. I mean, that's just what it was. And I am a big fan of Goofy, the Mickey Mouse's buddy dog. And you have Goofy in many, many pieces here. And I cannot help but notice that in every single one of the four or five that I found on this page, he's only got one eye. He's a cyclops. And I just have to ask, what sort of bent childhood caused you to draw Goofy?
Oh my God.
It's the monsters.
It's kind of you know, Goofy meets Von Dutch. Yeah. You know, it's just great stuff.
It how funny that you mentioned that. Because I'm really going down that rabbit hole right now. I worked for Disney a couple different ways, a couple different times. Either as a vendor, directing TV commercials back when they used to call the standard characters Donald, Mickey, Goofy,
right,
Pluto, and then I also worked at Disneyland as an artist painting there, and so I loved Disney growing up. Right, I mean everybody loved Disney, and you know Disney villains were just so great. But however. Oh, yeah. When you work for the company, it is a giant, giant. Now, not disparaging the animators or Walt or what he built, but when consumer products got the whiff of the baby boomers who for the first time were able to share with their children what they grew up on, that's when you had this gigantic wave of animation explosion. So I have a love-hate relationship with those characters. And so those guys, I'm not saying they're inspired by Disney characters. Don't get me wrong. Oh, no.
Right.
But my characters are, hold on one second. Let me see if I got, okay. this is my sketchbook. My characters are much more original. For example, this is Skull Duck.
Perfect. Yeah, well, Skullduck is in the Three Amigos Ride Again. Here has Skullduck.
And you were right, Goofy. Let me see if I got Goofy here. Goofy. Oh, excuse. Did I say Goofy? I meant Cyclops Dog. So he and of course there's Ricky Rhino. Ricky Rhino looks alike. A lot like some other mouse we may have heard of.
But it's, you know, it's not really the same at all.
And then they show up in these crazy hot rods and cars, which is what attracted me to you in the first places. And then, Brady, you mentioned this. I mentioned that you've got a lot of smokestacks. You got a lot of what looks like probably oil derricks off the coast. So you have a little industrial thing going on there in Southern California.
A little rebelliousness.
Well,
I would say
there's some of that that people don't know about Southern Cal.
Ron, that's funny you should say that, because the rebelliousness comes from, I grew up in the 60s. You remember the Gidget movies this sort of beautiful antiseptic vision of what surfing was, right? It was so perfect, and you know everybody was super well coiffed. And however, when I was a kid and I lived about 15 miles from the beach. So we would get on our stingrays and we'd ride our bikes, speed bike all day long, get to the beach. And I lived, the closest beach was called Huntington Beach. It's now called Surf City. It's been completely redesigned. It's beautiful. Yep. It's sanitized. It's great. But back then it was sketchy. And we ride our bikes and we were, you know, kids, preteens, whatever. And the teenagers ruled the roost. The bikers were under the pier, the Chicano gangs. It was tough.
Supposed to be.
Imagine my shock thinking that the beach was filled with palm trees and hammocks and hula girls.
Sure.
And we get there and we got to avoid getting beat up.
Yeah, you know, Sandra D was nowhere to be found.
Neither was Gidget.
Neither was Annette Funicello.
No Sally Fields.
So I, you know, and then I moved from idyllic Orange County up to LA for work and everything. And LA's beaches are even worse than Orange County, by the way, cleaned up really nice. When I moved to LA, they didn't do as well sort of shepherding the beaches. So there's just a lot of like Bob wire and, you know, there's just this sort of sketchiness down there, you know, it's such an amalgamation of cultures. And, you know, I didn't grow up with bars on windows and stuff, you know, in LA, you can go any one direction, 3 miles, and you can go from mansions to slums. And now with all the homelessness, it's just unbelievable. Yeah. So anyway, so that always sort of those smokestacks and oil rigs, that's just my view.
You can kind of see that influence in a lot of this stuff. I mean, it's what if. A lot of the pictures say what if to me, you know. But you've also got some, I mean, this shouldn't be a surprise. You've got some marvelously idyllic sort of things, the surf stuff, the tsunami series. Yeah. What great stuff, you know. There's an idyllic sort of what if kind of deal. I'm sure inspired by something basically real, or at least the intention of something real.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm gonna ride with that. That's
okay.
Good. Hey, let's talk about cars.
Yes, please.
Cars. Yeah.
We got a few more minutes.
I would be remorse if I didn't bring up Bruce Meyer's passing.
Yes.
The inventor of the Manx. My brother, my first car was a Volkswagen. My brother.
Oh, nice.
My brother is building a Manx replica right now.
Oh, nice.
Oh, awesome.
Super thoughtful. But
we actually had Bruce. We actually had Bruce on the show a year or so ago.
And if you go to our.
I listened to it.
We just reran it, you know, in memoriam. What a great guy. And a cantankerous guy, too.
90 something years old.
94.
On,
94. Same age as my dad.
Anyway, I love cars. I love what you guys are doing, by the way. That is, it's fun to listen
to
you.
Man.
And what a discovery. I'm flattered that you'd have me on, you know. But,
wow, cool.
Well, Damien, do you have a car yourself that you, your brother's getting into the Manx replica?
Right now I'm in my motorcycle phase, but I do have kind of a funky car.
Yep.
You know, so I've gone through all my vintage cars. I used to have a lot of Fords. I had a Ranchero, a 66 Ranchero, you know, 3 in the tree in line 6. You could open the hood and see the ground below. So
sure. About plenty of room in there for improvement. You bet.
A 63 convertible Cadillac that I called Marilyn. It was awesome. But now I'm driving, you're going to crack up, a Dodge Raider, an 89 Dodge Raider, which is
nice.
A rebranded Mitsubishi. They imported it for 2 years before Jeep lobbied America to get rid of all two-door four-wheel drives. But I dig it because it feels really funky and mechanical, very capable. And can throw surfboards in it and stuff. It's awesome.
Sure.
Well, you know, we're getting towards the end of our time with you, and you said it's an 89 Raider. Did you say that was?
Yeah.
Well, that could start another discussion, but I want everybody to go on to Damien Fulton Art, correct?
Yeah.
.com.
Right. And you can call me on Instagram as well as
yes.
Damian Fulton.
Perfect. Cool. Damian Fulton. Well, I want to just say thanks a lot, Damian, for being honest all the way from China. This is our first interview.
Nice to meet you.
So stick with us. We'll be right back with more of the show and a really cool old story. D&L Restoration, a family-owned shop, is looking to add a talented, motivated body technician. If you're tired of working for an organization where good enough is good enough and feel you have more to offer, then D&L may be a great fit for you. The ideal candidate will have a solid foundation in automotive refinishing and be relentless in the pursuit of show-quality bodywork, panel alignment, and panel fit. For the list of qualifications and to apply, go to RestoreYourCar.com. That's RestoreYourCar.com.
This is Mark Mathot from Cartoons Magazine, and you're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
I want to thank my mommy for loving me so much.
For taking me to the doctor when I broke my foot.
For leaving me alone when I wanted to be alone.
And now, as a grown-up, I'm thankful for being able to take care of you, my dear mom. For taking you to your therapies. For understanding that sometimes you simply want to be alone.
Roles change without us noticing. That's why AARP gives you the information to provide even better care for your loved one. Visit aarp.org/caregiver.
Cartoons Magazine is back. You know those crazy car comics from the past. They've returned in the all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of brand new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine full of one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available at your local comic book store, newsstand, and directly through Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com. That's cartoonsmag.com, where you can subscribe to a whole year's worth of fun. Cartoons Magazine, there's nothing else like it.
Okay, forest animals, kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org.
Hi there, it's time for Cars Confidential. We're doing a road rage theme on Fenders, Fins, and Friends. Let her rip there, Tater Chip Brady.
That's Mr. Tater Chip to you, buddy.
Kind of like Mr. Potato Head, another one of those kickbacks to the past.
It's not Mr. Potato Head anymore, it's Mr. Potato Head.
Mr. Potato Head had a pipe, and they don't let him have a pipe anymore either. I'm sorry. Sad.
Yes.
Sad, I tell you. So this one is, again, from Fenders, Fins, and Friends. And as we, you know, regularly do, Lance does a great job with these books, and he's let us read these stories because he's a complete sucker for free promotion. And we like the stories. This one is called Road Rage Reflection. And I kind of see where he's going with this. He says, I am not a person who is prone to road rage. But occasionally, I will voice my opinion of someone who's driving doesn't match the unquestioned expertise of my sterling driving ability. This is done in the privacy of my own vehicle. It doesn't include rolling down the window and screaming, get off the road, you stinking amateur. I keep the window rolled up when enthusiastically expressing that opinion. However, occasionally, I have been the stinking amateur. A few years ago, Lance was in Twisp, Washington, which is up in the North Cascades area, beautiful part of the state. He was attending a car show with several of his friends at the time. I owned a 70 Chevrolet C10 pickup, venerable chassis for all kinds of rebuilds. It had undergone a lot of modifications, including lower suspension, high-performance engine, custom interior, restyled hood and tailgate, shaved doors, the door handles removed, of course, and the passenger cab chopped 4 inches. For those not educated in the custom car world, chopping the cab 4 inches means 4 inches are removed from the height of the pickup's cab. The result of this alteration is a sleeker, lower, more sinister look. Sinister is generally not good, but many people in the old car hobby think it's very cool when it comes to improving the look of an old car or truck. I can speak to this because I have chopped the top of my 41 Jimmy 4 inches,
mm-hmm.
depending on where you measure. It's between 4 and 5 inches. It may or may not be. I swear. Ron has seen it, which is why he's laughing.
Well, I tried to help you put it back together after you've chopped it.
It's mostly straight now.
Yes.
Mostly.
Yes.
Gaining more rust, by the way, in Phil's backyard. So that's.
It doesn't matter whose backyard it's in. It's still going to get rusty.
It's going to get rusty. It's true. So we made the trip to the rural community to attend the car show and enjoy some small town charm. We were staying at a friend's house a couple of miles from Winthrop, which is another town in the North Cascades, about 10 miles from Twisp. And on arriving on Saturday, we spent the afternoon enjoying a few beers and a lot of laughs. The evening included a barbecue, after which we retired for the night and attempted the fun that we'd been having at the car show to continue the following day. Mars attack. Early the next morning, we arose and dusted off our old movie posters and headed out to the short drive to the car show. The day started a lot slower for me, so I told the others I'd meet them at the show. I prepared the truck and began the drive to Twisp. It was then that I met what was presumably the local road warrior. This inconsiderate guy was suddenly behind me in his Jeep Cherokee. He was so close behind me that all I could see was the rear-view mirror and his headlights and the top of his hood. Oh, what the heck was this guy trying to do? He was run over the top of my truck. We were on a very narrow strip of roadway, but he could have cautiously passed if the customized Chevy pickup in front of him was going too slow. It was time to take some aggressive action. The bumper hugger behind was almost to bumper get one hugger. Of my deadly... Yes, he was going to get one of my deadly stare-downs. I was going to purse my lips, swirl my brow, make my eyes all squinty and piercing, and then turn and glare at him out of the rear window, no doubt fill him with terror. I visualize Lance doing this, and he looks kind of like this.
That makes great podcast right there.
I don't know. Well, Lance will see this. Okay, fella, you asked for it. I turned to him and I gave him the look and immediately realized that the Jeep was a Washington State Patrol vehicle.
Oh, no.
Blue lights on top, twirling in all their festive and fearful glory. The road warrior behind me was actually a road angel, and I was the nitwit who would not get out of his way so he could travel to someone's aid. He couldn't see the lights because his top was chopped so far he couldn't see.
Oh, wow.
The problem, besides the numbskull driving my truck, was that the top of the truck's cab being lowered 4 inches resulted in the rear view window being much smaller than the original design. The slim rear window restricted the rear view mirror reflection just enough so that I could only see the front end of the hood of the State Patrol officer's Jeep, but not the roof, not the emergency lights blinking and blazing. I pulled over, he sped by. I gave some thought to what had just happened. I wanted to roll my window down and yell an apology, but he was long gone. The look on my face had gone from surly to silly. My apologies to the trooper from Twisp.
And they call those mail slot back windows. Mail slot.
A mail slot. That's right.
Yep.
Well, my question. I did as much as I could to keep a rear window on my truck when I chopped mine 4 inches. You could probably put an envelope through the back window of the truck. I think it'd make a pretty good mail slot.
Well, a shoebox, maybe even.
A small package.
Well, I got a question.
Yes.
When you lower the top by 4 to 5 inches, do you also lower the seat by the same amount so that you're closer to the deck, you know, the floor pan, so that when you're sitting, it's at the same profile? Or do you just sit way up and you're banging your head against the top of
the steel top?
Yes.
Well, no. I mean, obviously, you're going to have to drop the seat a little bit. Otherwise, your head's not going to fit in there. I mean, I'm 5'10 on a good day, and there's not a lot of room in there. So I had I dropped the seat way down. But, people sit on the floor of their cars if they chop them far enough. And then there's the whole problem of, can I actually see over the dashboard, which is not a good look, you know?
Well, my son's 92 pickup, it's a little, Mazda pickup, it's when you get in there, it's already sitting very low onto the floorboard compared to like my van. So those are like you could
That's where the idea of raking a car came from. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, when you if you chop the top enough that you really can't see through it, the only way you can look out the windshield if the seat's on the floor is to rake the car. So you raise the back end up a little bit. Now you can see out the windshield. You still can't see a stoplight when you come to the stop, you know, a stop right underneath it. That's why so many cars like Ron's don't have a roof. So you can,
I have a prism on the dash too, so you can
Yes, you do. You have
see the stoplights.
And or a periscope. Yeah, it's not uncommon.
I know a few people. Yeah, Greg Gott's car is one of those that you are way down in there.
Of course.
And a lot of the rat rodders, they like to have that radical look. But then again, it doesn't make for the best of, like you said, vision. You have to be very careful.
Yeah. Well, that's why you don't have any window glass. So you can lean your head out and look up through the light.
But by law standard, you have to have a windshield wiper. You may not have a windshield, but you have to have a windshield wiper.
Have to have a wiper. Illegal. That's right. That's
so
right.
Do you wear?
But see, with yours, you can reach over the top and wipe from.
And we've had to do that. I don't know. We
did.
That's
half the fun.
Well, you know, you think about that with people trying to pass you, and if you're not paying attention, here in locally, it's amazing. A couple times I'm sitting there, I hear the siren of a fire truck or something, and we're getting over, and there's still people pulling right out in front of them. There, I mean, they're not even paying attention, and I'm like, where did you learn to drive? And are you from a foreign country? Maybe.
What's COVID mentality?
You do have to be careful because, especially if you're driving a hot rod or anything like that. If you're not careful, you know, you draw attention to yourself. That's why hot rods tend to be ticket magnets.
Oh, yes.
You got to drive pretty straight. Hey, I do want to thank Lance for his books. They're available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and through the Vintage Vehicle Show. Your website wouldn't be complete without an address to one of Lance's books. We are going to come back shortly with a really cool story, I promise.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go, Fish Dad!
Oh, come on! This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil.
It only takes a moment to make a moment.
Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
We'll be back with more Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes. And you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy, which is great because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can. Should have worn my glasses. So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Looking for a job worth talking about? Teaching is creative, collaborative, and intellectually challenging. See why teachers have better work stories at teachdfw.org and learn more about becoming a teacher. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car-crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
I'm jumping in with my clothes off!
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Help us if you can. You're an El Camino. El Camino man. Only you can understand.
I think seriously that we should all go over to Steve's house and take his stinking El Camino apart and start fixing
it. Yes, it's getting closer. Yeah. I'm getting closer. I've got about...
listening to this for 4 years.
Four years. Wow.
Send you home down to the store to get something. And while you're gone, we're taking your car apart. That's what's going to happen.
No, I got about 20... about 15 boxes and a couple big things that need to be removed, and then I can do the electrical, and it's going to go in. It's going to.
Hey, that's half an hour's worth of work. We'll pitch that stuff.
I got to talk to my. We can't talk on the air about why that's still sitting there. That's
because it's time for the Nathan Lipinski trivia question of the week.
It's true. Do you realize?
Oh my goodness, that's right.
It is.
I forgot. That's why we're here.
That's why we're here. We're in the fourth year of the Nathan Lipinski weekly automotive trivia question. And in that entire time, I have statistics.
Happy birthday.
That entire time, do you know how often Nathan has won the question? Yes, there's actually a number. Nathan tries to answer the question every week. He's usually pretty good at it, but he doesn't always get in first, which is why we have other winners. And last week, we had a really cool question, and Nathan won. Nathan does this. He likes trivia.
Yes.
And he's very good at it, which is why we named the question after him. But in the entire time that we've been doing this question, Nathan has won the question 11 times.
Congratulations. Wow.
11 times. 12 is the magic number.
Yes.
Nathan, if you win 12 times, we're all going to shave our heads.
Here's the real question.
I won't.
Here's the real question. How many questions have there been?
Well, it's been one every week.
177.
So 177 questions. He's only got 11? That's not very good odds.
But most people have only won one. And occasionally we get skunked that somebody, they don't come up with an answer, and that's okay too. But this week's question is...
I'm challenging him.
All right, Nathan, listen up. 1958 is a really cool year for car styling. A lot of stuff happened in 1958 that was never derived from any other year, and it didn't get carried over to 59 or 60. It was kind of a standalone styling year. And in 1958, some of the coolest car styling ever, but one very, very cool feature from Chrysler that nobody else had. 1950, I'm almost giving it to you, but You have to send us an email and contact us at horsepowerchromeandrust.com, or you can go to the Facebook page and answer. You can send us a Facebook Messenger and Instagram. You can do whatever you like. Send a pigeon with a note on its leg. You can go to Ron's house and help him chop down one of the trees that landed on his shed.
Come on over.
Whatever. Whatever works, that's just fine. 1958 had some of the coolest car styling ever, but one other cool feature from Chrysler outshone every single one from that year. What is it? You two could win the coveted certificate of the Horsepower Chrome and Rust Barn Find Dust Can, which, as we know, if you sprinkle on your car, it will be worth four times as much. Ron has a can there of something that could be barn find dust, or it could be something from his 54 old oil. We don't know, but have you got that thing better, farther along now?
Who?
You, the olds.
Oh, yeah, I got the engine pulled out, transmissions pulled out. Got a lot of work done on the, so it's coming right along.
All right. Well, hey, that just about does it for Ron Foreman, Steve Johann. I'm Brady Wright saying keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, your foot right to the floor. Drive fast, take risks, cruise on by next week for another Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.